Aqua Church. Amen. And then we've got some a couple here, a family here from Colombia that now they live here.
So okay. Church of all nations, amen.
Yes. So we've been going through the book of Ezra, and Richard did the chapter 2 last week, and I'll be doing chapter 3 this week. So we're just going to go ahead and get started right into scripture. So you could turn to your electronic gadgets, or I'll have it up here in English and Espanol. Okay? So here we go. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of the temple being laid. Many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sounds of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you so much for your word and just the direction, Father, that it gives, the power that it gives to our lives, Father. Bless this time that we are able to understand, and I pray this in your son's name. Amen. So, who here has a hard time letting go of the past? Is it just me? Man, I remember when I was in T-ball and I didn't get selected to be on the All-Star team, and I still held a grudge against that coach. You know, you're thinking like, only if I could do a do-over. You know, I want to erase the event or poor choice or sin of the past. I want to it kind of be permanently expunged from my brain, obliterated. So what do I have to think about the past any longer? Why do I do that? Well, I got a long title for a short lesson today. And the title of the lesson is, We Must Not Let Memories of the Past Rob Us of Seeing What God Is Doing in the Present. Amen. We must not let memories of the past rob us of seeing what God is doing in the present. Do you know stealing is a sin? Mm-hmm. And you should not steal because it is a sin. And it's a shame when we steal from ourselves and we dwell on the past because we rob ourselves of potential joy in the present, right? Resentment of the past can easily grow into a rooted bitterness. Of the past can easily grow into a deep root of bitterness, and we could just squander the present. And if you just think about it long enough, that regret that you're having, which you're thinking, that you're not thinking about any longer, you keep on thinking about it, it just you start harboring really bad feelings and resentment because it becomes a vicious cycle, and the present moment has kind of like slipped through your fingers as it embarked kind of like downriver and never to return. Now that we have become slaves of Christ, we have become free to learn from the past and not dwell on them. We have the opportunity to move forward to incredible growth and maturity as individuals or collectively as church when we do not dwell on the past. Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says, Forget the former things. Do not. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making my way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. We are making our way through a wild wilderness of life. I mean, it's getting wilder every minute now, isn't it? Time here is brief. Yes. And we will be embraced by Jesus' loving, welcoming arms soon. You know, scriptures say God disciplines the one he loves, and The Bible is specific about that in Hebrews 12, verse 6. So what are we seeing here in this chapter of Ezra in chapter 3? Is God disciplining his Jews, disciplining the Jews because he loves them? For 400 years, under the rule of a monarchy, and, you know, being they lived in idolatry and immoral life, and God loved them. God loved them anyways, and he measured out the discipline by using the Babylonians as a rod of their discipline. Now, God calls Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians, to come and to besiege the city of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, he takes 10,000 Jews, tens and thousands, as captives, and deports them 900 miles eastward to ancient Babylon, which is now today modern Iraq, where they will be held captive for 70 years. And during the 70 years, the Israelites will be purged from idolatry and the desire to be lorded over by earthly king. You know, it's really best to learn from others' mistakes, isn't it? I mean, there's many principles that we can learn here from the Jewish exiles who returned to Jerusalem to rebuild their city and their lives. Nehemiah. G. Campbell Morgan, a theologian, and he writes about the returning Israelites. There was a danger in their weeping, the backward look, which discounts present activity. It's always a peril. Regrets over the past, which paralyze work in the present, are always wrong. Moreover, all such regrets, as in this case, are in danger of blinding the eyes to the true value and significance of the present. So this is my simplified version of the worded quote. Dwelling in the past will diminish the present. If you're seeking opportunity, the present is where opportunity lies. Yeah. I mean, have you ever stood on a bridge, watched the current carry whatever debris, like a twig or something like that, and it's going under the bridge, and you watch it flow, in the current flow, and it kind of continues on. And that's what the scholars would call water under the bridge. You know, we used to live in Germantown, just outside of Memphis, where we used to live. And there are these beautifully constructed, sturdy steel bridges. And they were only really a short drive from where we lived. And I observed that the water would not go around the bridge, it would not go over the bridge, but it would actually go under the bridge. And I observed, once the water was under and left the bridge, there was not much I could do to change the direction of the water because it was water under the bridge. You know, there's a definition of water under the bridge. Something that is over and done with, specifically an unfortunate occurrence. So Ezra chapter 3, there are two groups represented. So you got the older folks, the exile, but then you have the younger who are 70 years in captivity, who build their lives in Babylon. And their only thing that they knew about Jerusalem is what the previous generation had told them. The older generation remembered life as it was, as they lived in Jerusalem. Some of the older folks who returned probably had expected some type of, shining city on the hill, but it's nothing but ruins. The first group, the ones who remembered the temple in the glory years, must have been saddened, when they came back to the area in which they had lived and there was nothing but rubble. Now the second group, the 70 years and younger, are the ones who were ignorant of the past. And I think of the saying, ignorance is bliss, and sometimes it's best not to know. And in verse 5 of chapter 1, it says, everyone whose heart God had moved, the second group, had built their lives in that area, 900 miles from Jerusalem, and they were far removed from, but God had moved in their hearts, and they moved. Those are the ones who would go. Those are the ones who would go back 900 miles to rebuilding the temple. Those are the ones who would get involved in the new work of the Lord. And one of the things we learned from Richard's lesson last week, it was an expensive, laborious, huge undertaking. So you had the old, new generation, and they kind of complemented each other. And it was God's that had been enslaved, were forced to migrate. They remember the splendor and the glory of the temple, and they wept. They were sorrowful, and because they looked back at the good old days. The younger folks under the age of 70s, they had only known life in Babylon. They had no personal remembrance of the temple or the worship in the temple. They were focused on what God was doing in the present. They were excited about the present, and they were looking forward to the future. God has a providential plan for our lives and our church. We see God's providential hand all throughout the Bible, doing things for his glory and for our good. God has determined that there would be 70 years that the Israelites would be in captivity. We need to remind ourselves daily that Jesus is the only pathway or connector to God. Otherwise, we can go on. There are many documentaries, and we see many movies that's about someone's spiritual journey. And these stories may be well told, and inspirational stories about overcoming, but no one will ever arrive without their son, without his son, Jesus. Like a dream, you've had dreams before where you're pursuing and running towards the destination, but it kind of escapes us. All of us are prone to be stuck in the past, which will cause us to miss out on what the Lord is doing in the present. This kind of relates, again, to us individually as well as a church corporately. This also has to do with both bad and even sometimes good memories. If we become stuck in the past holding on to bad memories, we will be robbed of seeing what the Lord is doing in the present. Right. Now, I'm sure Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians and eventually would be renamed Paul, he had a lot of bad memories himself. He would say here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straying toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now remember these words of Paul when your mind kind of drifts into these familiar waters of resentment or thoughts of regrets, wishing you could have changed the past. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Praise be to God and Father our Lord Jesus. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So if you want to remember the past, remember that Christ died on the cross for us to have productive lives. And in productive in things that matter, not to dwell on our bad choices or mishaps or mistakes that that God can't even change. For the ones who call Jesus Lord, the past is not eternal. It's over. It's called water under the bridge.
Amen.
Right? Focus on what's eternal, because that's where our future is. And with Christ in our lives, that should kind of bring us a lot of joy, or at least a smile.
Right.
God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.